This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, and I'm willing to bet that even if you know nothing about comics, you're going to want to check this out. Comics remind us in America that we are a nation that has been looking for heroes for a very long time.
Tony Stark makes you feel he's a cool exec with the heart of steel.
As Iron Man, all jets ablaze, he's fighting and fighting with the Cold War.
That's Iron Man, of course, from the 1960s, talking about his amazing new weapon. Listen.
At the huge main plant of Tony Stark Industries, his inventive genius continues to produce new marvels of electronic science, such as his recently publicized laser device with incredible new and powerful features.
Wow. But Iron Man's roots go back longer than the 1960s. All of these characters from the Marvel Comics universe do. There's the radioactive Hulk.
Doc Bruce Banner, melted by gamma rays, turned into the Hulk.
Ain't he on glamour rays?
The funky audio there, also from the 1960s. We think of these characters as coming from Hollywood recently, but no, not the case. Here, of course... You might say that superheroes are kings and queens of all media. Captain America there. All these Marvel villains and good guys are this mishmash of America's obsession with technology, with power, and with self. Nationalism meets dreamy heroism, all dreamed up by a man born in Brooklyn to immigrant parents in 1908. Well, the history of Marvel and its heroes, Stan the Man Lee, Jack Kirby, and others, is laid bare in the new books, Marvel Comics, and of course the subtitle would have to be The Untold Story. Sean Howe is the author. He joins us in the studio. Sean, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks.
Well, first of all, this has got to be a labor of love for you.
Yeah, it was. It was. Three very, very full years of just research and interviews and writing.
Let's do the casting first. Tell me about Stan Lee. Tell me about Jack Kirby, who actually was referenced in that Argo movie just in the last segment.
Sure. Well, you know, Jack Kirby was he was born in 1917, and he was from the Lower East Side. He basically came out of poverty. He made his way out of poverty as a cartoonist. He found himself at Marvel Comics, which had just begun in 1940, and he created Captain America, which, you know, went on to be this World War II icon that made him a star.
And Stan Lee?
And Stan Lee came around as an office boy at Marvel Comics a little bit after Jack Kirby and never really left.
And, you know, Marvel was about making money. Publishing was about making money. But really, we're talking about the Depression. We're talking about World War II. We're talking about, you know, the various kinds of evils that, you know, even crop up in movies today. Were these folks looking for a hero to get them out of their own problems, and that morphed into this superhero genre, which now dominates global media?
I think so. There's probably – it's not a coincidence that a lot of the young men who created these major heroes in the post-Depression or World War II era were young Jewish men. And, you know, they were sort of creating people to take care of things that, you know, they were powerless.
So it fight. Comes out of this sense of powerlessness.
Yeah.
You know, Jonathan Latham writes about this in The Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, and he gives you a nice blurb on this book here. In your exploration of Marvel Comics, did you discover that in a sense that kind of imaginative Cavalier and Clay world is really closer to reality than it is fiction?
That was Michael Chabon, actually.
Or Michael Chabon, excuse me. Yeah, yeah.
Wrote the book. But he clearly did a lot of his own research on the comic industry. And if anyone's read Cavalier and Clay, then they get a hint of what the real life, you know, background of this industry was, with all its shady dealings and persistent dreams.
Now, of course, Marvel almost went out of existence, you know, at a certain period of time. I mean, the heyday of the idea was one thing, but actually making it work was something else. So what were the worst days of Marvel Comics?
Well, in the the mid-50s, about 1954, there were a few forces that conspired to really put down the comic industry. There was a book called Seduction of the Innocent, which really put the scare into a lot of parents about the...
You know, comics were bad. Comics were, you know, like venereal disease or something.
Exactly. And there was a Senate subcommittee hearing on juvenile delinquency at the same time. There were church burnings of comic books. And what happened was Marvel Comics became Stan Lee and a few freelancers. And he was just sort of sequestered in the corner of a magazine office on Madison Avenue. And there were just a few comics dribbling out. And that changed in the early 60s.
What happened in 1961? I mean, in a sense, in the early 60s, Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, the history is well known, but it completely turned around.
Yeah. Basically, for reasons, Stan Lee tells a story that he basically had just about given up on the industry, and he was speaking to his wife, and she told him to just go ahead and write the kind of comics that you know were coming from the heart. Jack Kirby says that he came along and Stan Lee was crying and they were moving office furniture out and it was sort of his idea to do the superheroes. Where the initial germ of an idea came from is sort of a minefield of conjecture, but they hit upon something. You know, there's the Cold War era, the post-atomic freakout. I think a lot of these stories about radiated men really hit a nerve.
And they're alive and well today. Hulk, the Avengers, I mean, all of it. Did any of these men envision that Marvel, this idea of do it from the heart, Stan, do it from the heart, Jack, would become this multi-billion dollar global brand?
I don't think any of them did, at least not at the dawn of the creation of these characters.
Could have had no such idea. So what accounts for them connecting? It certainly isn't necessarily these men. The ideas, though, are beyond viral.
Yeah. This is really like the modern mythology. For millions of kids, they grow up, and this is this pantheon of fictional characters that, you know, they learn, among other things, they get their reinforcement of moral lessons at a very young age from these adventures. Mm-hmm. It's arguably the most complicated fictional narrative. You know, all these characters kind of bump into one another, and it all forms this overarching story that if you imagine like 70 seasons of the show Lost, but each character has its own spinoff. It's that complicated.
And that rewarding for the people in Hollywood who've taken advantage of Marvel, and now Comic-Con itself is its own sort of cultural force based all entirely in this mythology. Sean Howe, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sean Howe is the author of Marvel Comics, The Untold Story. It's a conversation you've been having with us. Clara in South Carolina suggested that Obama is a superhero. We got this response.
Obama, a superhero. That's great. That's like my derelict boss who says he's the glue holding the company together. We call him super glue.
Give us your take. We know you will at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. Coming up tomorrow, more from Lake County, Ohio. We asked all the members of our Bellwether Committee who they most wanted to get to know.
John, he's my favorite. He's open-minded and he knows his stuff. I think that I would love to have lunch sometime.
John, you got any other lesbian basketball player friends?
Lesbian? Yeah, no, I really don't. But I'm willing to make one.
Make a friend with us. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage of The Takeaway is supported in part by W.K. Kellogg Foundation, WKKF.org. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.